Is Ken coming?
Ken's out of town too.
Oh, Ken's out of town.
Okay.
So it's just you lucky folks.
Let's call the meeting of the Eaglewood Golf Committee. Welcome everybody.
I'd like to welcome both members of the committee who are here.
I guess Court already met with Tyler and is up to date, so only a couple people that we really haven't heard from in a long time, but first order of business, approve the minutes from July 10th. Any comments or correction on
Who can remember what happened on July 10th? What, was that in 2024?
Yes.
That July 10th?
I move that we pass them.
Okay.
We'll move we approve the minutes and I'll second that.
Okay. Okay. Moved and seconded and all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. So, we'll turn it over to Tyler for the rest of the agenda.
All right, we'll cruise through this today. There's not a ton, but some of it has some depth to it. Here's kind of an overview with the agenda that was sent out. We'll start with just this fiscal year. And before I get into that, I should have in our next meeting the final financials from fiscal year 2024. So we made out pretty well. The golf course did well for last year. So
good.
This is just comparing last year, 2023, 2024, within those same time periods, so July, August, and September. You're welcome to go through each of those. Biggest increases in revenue are going to be driving range. If you remember, we increased the rates, as well as we're charging tax. And essentially what we're looking at is we've had a 10% increase in rounds, which is equated to essentially a 10% increase in revenue plus the sales tax that we implemented. So that 7.25% is part of that increase in revenue. And then,
did you ever get any pushback on that, on the sales tax? It just, I mean, most people expect it anyway, don't
they?
Yeah,
very little. Those that question the price, we say, yeah, sales tax. And
yeah, good. Okay. That's great. Yeah.
I guess I always had a question. Why do we have sales tax on the golf fees themselves? Because it's not merchandise, it's not food, it's not.
Yeah, there's very few restrictions that they.
It's a service.
Yeah, it's a service.
Just
it's recreation. It's a fee.
Yeah, but if I go get my hair cut, they don't charge me tax. Do they take it out of?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the reason.
It's included in your overall fee because they have to pay.
Okay, and that's what I was wondering if that was the reason. So it's the service side.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was included in the fee before.
Yeah, it was.
Golf too, but other facilities weren't including it. So I mean. There's
yeah.
No reason.
Okay.
Now,
cool.
These dollars up there have the sales tax in it?
No.
No, they shouldn't be.
No. So I deducted what sales tax we were including for last year. So this is apples to apples.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So preliminary, you're showing a 17.7% increase in revenue.
Yep.
Well
we
done.
Tried our best.
Yeah.
Well done. Well
so
done.
It's been a good 3 months so far. I mean, every month we've outpaced the previous high or last year, essentially.
All Allen's and the Men's Association.
Yeah, it's a good portion of it.
What did we do in 23 on October? Because this one.
We did about 350,000, and we're about 40,000 ahead of last year already with today's the ninth.
And it's only the ninth.
Date. October 1st through the 9th, that's
yeah.
So we're quite a bit ahead. We did have last year one of our bigger tournaments, middle of October, so we'll kind of catch up. That'll be a big bump last year, middle of the month, where we won't have it this year.
It'll
okay.
Even out.
Nobody wanted to do an October tournament this time, huh?
Boy, they should have.
Well,
yeah,
we'll get into why, but part of it's the pond project on number 8.
Ah, okay.
They were supposed to have started. We weren't going to do any golf tournaments because of that, but
yeah.
Do you want to touch on that as long as you brought it up?
We'll get it. It's the next agenda.
Oh, okay.
This okay. Just helps you visualize where the driving range revenue's been each fiscal year. So if you look at the 3 months, July, August, September for this fiscal year, how much we've grown even from last year, and that's part of that is that rate increase, but part of it is just our usage has been so busy on the driving range. It was about 33% increase, right? 32.3, but our usage is up about 20%. So it's a significant amount of growth on driving range.
It's hard to find a place.
It is.
To go hit on the range.
And I think we'll see that in the TrackMan range as well. I think it will only make that better.
Any pushback from those who have been forced to hit off mats who don't want to?
Yeah.
Always a little.
There's always a few that don't hit off mats. Hopefully the data and the TrackMan system alleviate some of their angst of hitting. We'll still have it, but and maybe at the end of the meeting I'll pull it up. I've been looking at other golf courses that are doing TrackMan range too that have a grass tee still, and they have a calendar posted of here's the days we're on mats, here's the days we're on grass, and how we can rotate and how we can accommodate both. Anyways, we can look it up. They've had mostly their weekends available on grass, which I was kind of thinking the opposite, but it may take some fine tuning and some adjustments and trial and error for us to figure out what days are good and what days aren't. And like I mentioned, I think we'll, as people get using this system and realize how fun it is or how impactful it is can be for golf, we'll have those that complain that, oh, I want to use the iPad essentially on the, and then rather hitting off grass. So hey, we'll get it both ways. Merchandise, so we're ahead of last year as well. You look kind of the growth there from the last 10 years. We should be on track for over 400 this year, as long as we have a good spring and good tournaments, which it's looking like we will.
Do you break out the gift certificate sales separately from everything else?
I haven't, but I can. We have those.
Just ballpark. What percentage of merchandise sales
I'd probably say 30 or 40% are gift cards.
30 to 40.
Yeah.
So 60% are people walking in and buying stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
great. Association.
That's
accounts.
Great.
I looked today. We have $23,000 of credit books still to be spent in the next month. So that'll be a big bump to October and some of November. So generally, what we see there, you saw last October. Some of that was our big tournament we had. They spent $18,000 in merchandise on that day.
Who did that?
That was CU Direct.
Oh yeah.
So okay. That's one of our bigger ones.
Did you see a pretty good percentage increase in tournaments and outings who purchased gift certificates this year compared to
previous? Yeah, we included them in their fees. So they had a minimum of 500 for the weekday and then 1,000 for the weekends. But
a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, a good percentage of them did.
And a lot of them, when they do that, realize what a benefit that is because everybody, I mean, it's a win-win, really. It's definitely a win for the golf facility. So
One of Alan and I's goals, along with Brent, is to get more of that business, more of the tee prizes, more of the special orders, more of them utilizing our pro shop as a experience rather than just
a lot of
people
extra. That bring golf balls from other places. It's like, well, I could have ordered this for you.
So this is our just revenue for the year, just kind of growth there. We're on track for above the 3.5 that we got to last year. So if you look at our months this year, how busy we've been. Part of that again is the rate increase, but also just the amount of play. And I have rounds coming next I can show you. So last fiscal year we did, these are 9-hole rounds, so think of it as an 18-hole would be 2 9-hole rounds, but just where we were at, 80,000 last fiscal year. 2023 is a little bit of a, I would say, anomaly, only because we really didn't have a November or an April to play golf in. If you look at the months we were open, it's almost identical to the $80,000 fiscal year. So.
And fiscal 23 in March was no bueno either.
No. Yeah. And we opened on April 15th that year. So I look back through.
Yeah, that was a tough year.
Yeah. And then conversely, you know, this last fiscal year we had a great March and April. And we had a great October and a great November. So just weather dependent really on those 3 months on that rounds we do in revenue. So Gateway Parks, and part of this is going to be the pond project. So we've started there. They're just about done with the electrical from the roadside. So we had, if you remember, we had to get a transformer here to pull power from Rocky Mountain Power over to this pond location for them to pump water out to utilize their snow guns, make the snow. So the conduit's in, they have both of their power boxes in place. Now they'll just have to run the power probably first of next week, the power cables, and then Rocky Mountain Power will come set that transformer.
And Gateway Parks is paying for all of that, right?
Yeah, so Gateway Parks is paying for all of that.
Great.
The Tonko construction's on the lower pond. They were supposed to start October 1st with some of the roadside storm drain. And then once they were done with that, they'd start to move on to the golf course, and they have not started yet. So based off of that, if they start early next week, we're looking October 21st for them to start on the actual pond work, excavating. They're gonna have to wait till after the 15th at this point, because the water will still be on, and we'll need to use that water till probably the 21st. So that's really the reason why we haven't, us trying to get them to start earlier was a big part of what Gateway Parks needed. We have no way of filling this pond with water. So part of the lower part pond project was pulling some of that water through existing storm drain into this storm drain vault that collects water. And right now, all this water goes out to the street and then down. What we're doing is collecting that water and overflow from the pond that they'll be able to pull and fill this pond with. Benefits to that too is we'll be able to do that in the middle of the summer when we want to fill the pond, so it doesn't look so not nice. I mean, mm-hmm. If you've seen it in a hot summer when we don't have a lot of rain, it will drop 12 to 18 inches.
Yeah.
And you can see the edges and a lot of the weeds and stuff in the pond. So that's part of that.
So it helps your water circulation too. Mm-hmm. I mean, so. Yeah,
yeah, so Tonko, when they get in here, this is the first part of their project. We need this vault to get in here so we can fill this pond so they can make stone. So they'll start there, and then once they're finished there, they'll move on to the pond. It'll probably be closed Monday through Friday, even if the golf course is open. The Gateway Parks group will be starting to set up their scaffolding here on the edge of the driving range end of next week.
Are they still going to do that with as hot as the weather has been, or are they going to postpone that a couple weeks?
No, they're still planning on November 15th, so they'll start making snow on the 15th.
November?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
So it'll take them a couple weeks to get their scaffolding set up and their snow guns in place. And then once they start making snow, it kind of lines up well with 8 being closed anyways. So we'll end up just probably closing 8, 9, and 10. And then rerouting people from 7 to 11 to play golf if they want to do 15 holes, essentially.
Because you had to do that for the pond expansion anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so 8 and 9 basically will be closed then.
Yeah, and 10 as well.
And 10 as well. Okay.
So make your aces on 8 early.
Yeah.
Because you may not
have
a chance.
Hey, I almost did it today. It hit the pin.
They don't give you anything for almost.
I know. It hit the pin and bounced out. What could I say? It was frustrating.
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
That's golf.
Yeah.
That's so we'll probably end up selling 7 holes of golf or 15 holes of golf, depending on what people want to play and when. But if you look back through November, other than if we get a nice November like we did last year, it's not a significant amount of rounds that we would be losing or giving up. And frankly, almost 75% of them are coming from the 1st to the 15th. I mean, the bulk of our rounds are going to be the first part of the month. So
right.
With Gateway Park starting to make snow, we may lose out on a few hundred rounds, but I think what we lose there will make up. But if we're open, we can still, 1 through 15, they can still play.
So you'll go from 7 over to 11 for 18 holes.
Yeah.
And then how will you do 11 and then 18 to get them off if they're only doing 9?
Yeah, we'll probably allow them to come back through 7 and then through. So they'll finish on 7 and then just come
down 10.
Down 10 and then
okay, and then back that way you'll have a walkway.
We'll have it blocked off to go to 8. There may be a few sneaker honors that go from 7 to 11, but we've got a camera there and we've got GPS.
Yeah, we were watching some of that the other day. Yes, we had a few people that decided that that was a great way to get a few extra holes in.
The old sneaker honors.
Yeah, the sneaker honors, that's what we like to call them. So the coverage structure, we're making progress there. Right now I'm waiting on geotech results from, it's IGES is the company that did it for us. Should have it Friday. I'll take those geotech results so we don't have any landslides, not really landslides, but any issues with the structure. Okay. We'll send their results to the footing design and engineer with Mountain State Construction. That'll probably take a week, and then we'll get contractors ready and lined up for the concrete.
Okay.
So it's been slow, but I still think we can get concrete in by the end of the month. Two of the three contractors are still pretty available, and one of them calls me every day asking when we're going, so.
Yeah, there are some who want work with this warm weather lingering. They want to
pay their people. The structure's almost done. They're planning on mid-November to install that. And then we'll kind of, depending on weather, we may do some of the pre-construction, pre-trackman, I guess I should say, electrical work.
The stuff that's in the lower parking lot in that corner, that's
That's all Gateway Parks.
So okay. That, oh, it's Gateway Park.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so
I wondered.
Some of their
okay.
stuff being delivered.
Okay.
Is that some of their lights and stuff that they're going to put on?
They've got lights and their snow machines and their scaffolding all down there.
Yeah.
Do they actually use snow guns? It's like, how many of those are they going to put up? Do we know?
They've got three down there right now. They may have four, but they're just like the ones you'd see at ski resorts. And they're 2,800 pounds each.
Wow.
So they're heavy and expensive. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we should be good there. We're looking probably April. I'm hoping for an April start, depending on weather, for TrackMan. If we can utilize a lot of March, maybe end of February for electrical, essentially. It may that we put off doing some of the heaters and more of the winter type stuff for the fall time next year. We really focus on getting it open and summertime may do something there, but I do have some lighting designs. This is one company out of Wisconsin that I've been working with to get us some good pricing on some lights. So this just shows you some locations. These would actually probably be lower, more in here. These are poles, and the blue lines are directions of the lights. So we'd have three or four on the larger structure, and then two or three on the smaller one. This kind of shows you what it would look like at night. So Ken's biggest concern, and obviously some of the neighbors up there, is going to be light pollution coming into their homes. And these have, he's kind of mapped it out for us.
Shades on them.
To show the back shades. So
the name of them right
there. They'll see some ambient light, but there won't necessarily be anything pointed at any of these homes. And I don't see any of the lower homes being impacted as either way.
It's shining
so
that far.
I'd agree with that. Can TrackMan track that?
Yeah,
TrackMan will track
it in the dark.
Oh,
so
can it really?
You don't even need light, yeah.
Wow.
TrackMan was originally a missile tracking system.
Oh, well, I missed out on that part.
yeah, so they're pretty, they'll have radars, one on the driving range structure, and then two out here in the field, and it's tracking everything that's moving, going out there, so.
We can figure out who are the people that shoot over on the ninth green.
Yeah, the nice thing about it is it will alert us too. We can set up alerts that it will show us where the balls are hit, and we'll actually notify them on the screen, hey, you are hitting it outside of the hitting area. Please refrain from
cease
and desist. Oh, I like that.
Now.
So it'll kind of give us both. It'll warn them, but it will notify us who's doing it. So.
Okay.
What's the width of that whole canopy?
This one's 124 feet, and this one's 80. Now there'll be a 20 foot storage section on this side for the range balls and driving range equipment. But there'll be 12 stations on this side, and then 6 stations on this side.
Cool.
So 18 total.
18 total.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
And along with that, we'll still have the grass, plenty of grass area to hit off of. The TrackMan range will work both. So they have, if you remember, they have the off-mats computer component with the screen, but then they'll also have the on-range function with phones and iPads. People will have QR codes for them to scan. It will track from where they're at. So they'll still be able to get some of the technology, but not all of it. They won't be able to play the games. They won't be able to play the closest to the pin, the contests and stuff that you need with the actual units. But.
Okay.
Not to jump ahead too much, but is there how do you plan to market that? I mean, because that's going to, I mean,
it's a great,
that's
great
going
segue.
To, that's going to be the, it's going to differentiate Eaglewood from all other golf facilities in
yeah.
Utah right now.
So I wish, not, I don't wish, I don't have, I haven't had the time to focus on social media marketing as much as I would have liked to right now. I still do quite a bit with our advertising. Outside of that, I don't have the time to go out and take videos and pictures and
just copy
focus
everyone
on
else's
that.
Pictures and put them on our Instagram.
Yeah. So leading into that is I think we have a huge opportunity to market, advertise, not only just the TrackMan, but a lot of the facility. And I propose, and with your kind of blessing and approval on this, to hire a social media marketing manager for next year. It's probably starting springtime, end of winter. And probably even start the process early as January on looking for an employee. I kind of went back and forth on whether I look for an intern to start out with or we just look for a full-time employee, and that's kind of where I've landed on is finding someone that I can put on this and dedicate to doing a lot of the advertising and functions mm-hmm. of
the city doesn't have anybody who does that for the city, do they?
No, Linda does mm-hmm. communications. She does a little bit of that, but she's doing a lot of the city.
Yeah, she's got her plate
yeah.
more than full already.
The right kind of person, you know, bring back their salary 100 times over. So.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I feel like too, is if we had someone that was making $20 to $22 an hour starting, that you know what they'd be making would be worth it for us if they could show that they have some skill of, with some advertising and marketing.
Yeah, even if you went higher, I mean, that has a definite payback, and the more you promote, the more you're gonna get. So
yeah. And I looked at some ranges. So I've done some. I have some bullet points here, but I have a job description ready. I have pay range. I've looked at what job postings are available, not necessarily what's being filled at what pay rate, but mm-hmm. kind of what's being posted and what range those are in. And this would be competitive with someone new and young and wanting to get into this out of school to have some technology, some videography work, some camera work, social media would be a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good step forward because, I mean, you're putting new things in which will bring attention anyway, but the more you promote it, the more attention it'll bring, and then that'll drive the rest because once people get used to coming here for one thing, they'll come here for something else. So it's, you know, it's a win-win. I mean, and you just have to invest the money.
Yeah. We have so many areas of the operation now that it's, you know, I would consider the driving range almost separate at that point if you have TrackMan with, so we have the driving range, we have the golf course and the pro shop, I would say the golf course and the pro shop are even separate. I would have the turf maintenance as a focus that we can have. There's the grill, there's the event center, there's the simulators. I mean, so many different areas here that really I could have a list of 200 items for someone to,
yeah.
work on and post. And
yeah, each is a separate revenue producing entity, but each can be marketed separately to
yeah.
some extent too, but the key with the driving range and the TrackMan and everything is to get make sure everyone in the golf community from A to Z knows that Eaglewood has this and knows precisely what it is and how that makes Eaglewood, you know, a more superior facility than.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have a great driving range, and you know, I mean, Bountiful Ridge down the road has a nice golf course, but no driving range kills it. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's And if you talk to Kent, he would even admit that, I mean, there's nothing he could do about it.
They have a cold net.
Huh?
A cold net.
Yeah, they have a nice net. Well, they catch a lot of fish and low-flying birds in that net, I don't know about that.
So, my next steps with this is to kind of formulate a draft and memo to the city council with a proposed budget change for salaries and benefits, so.
Yeah.
If you guys are comfortable with that, I'll probably make that towards the end of December, early January, and see where it lands.
Do you feel like there's anybody on your staff right now who is qualified to do that job?
Yeah, there's a few that we've talked about. There's some in the grill, one in particular that's marketing, digital media, graduating, I think, from.
Knows golf?
She's worked in the grill. She doesn't play much golf.
Yeah, knows golf.
I think it's.
You're selling golf, not hamburgers.
I think it would be best to get as many qualified applicants as we can for this,
yeah.
And really probably take my time with who we're hiring and have some experience.
I think
you want somebody with experience, because if they don't have experience, you end up having to manage them so much more. If they can run on their own, that's the kind of person you need.
Yeah, if you're doing 75% of the work anyway, that's the point I was tap dancing around, is if you're doing it anyway, then don't hire a full-time person. But if you can find somebody qualified.
I think that would be, that's my biggest thing.
Excellent recommendation, yeah.
You want a motion from the committee?
That'd be great, if it could be on the minutes, and then we can wrap it up.
I'll forward the motion that we hire a social media marketing manager, and
I second the motion.
With the bullet points laid out right there.
Perfect. Okay, removed and seconded?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, unanimous.
Okay.
Hey, the best we hired.
You want to
know my work? That to speak to, she's got to sell golf and not hamburgers. So there's this girl that was like our line staff. It's basically just filler staff, right? But she was Miss Social Media, you know, I mean, posted and did things with her kids and everything. And we started this thing. We just gave her $300 a month. Just, hey, just try it, you know. And we have a marketing department that we had her take it over. Just because she knows it, right? Like she knows Facebook, she knows Instagram, she knows, and stuff pops up, and I'm like, where'd that come from? She didn't. But she didn't. She's not a therapist, like she. But it worked. Just gotta find someone that knows that world.
Yeah,
I don't. I hate.
We'll get one with a million followers.
Yeah,
and, you know, that'll be the population of Utah. So.
Would you also use this person for highlighting Gateway too?
Yeah, all of it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Time work for sure.
I think it benefits us to help market and
that's what I was thinking. That makes it a year round. Yeah.
But Gateway has their own people to do that, right?
But
And they pay for their advertising and marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They do quite a bit. So you'll probably start seeing some Facebook and Instagram ads.
But this would be a supplemental to say, hey, you know, for the local, knowing the local.
Will you include the banquets in here too?
Will we?
Under that person?
No. That's probably more of future. I had other future positions on here, but wanted to really focus on that one probably for this year. We have kind of coming down the line probably tournament and event director. And then there's a need for more mechanic time on the golf course side, just with the amount of equipment we have. And my last item here is kind of project list, more long-term stuff that there's three ways we could go about doing those, but I'll kind of get into projects and how I foresee. Maybe we'll jump to that, because that's kind of, then we'll come back.
When will the residents find out all about the Gateway?
It's a great question.
Because they're going to be the people that really support
They just finished the website. From what they told me, they're going to start selling tickets and passes and advertising on the 15th. I'm kind of waiting for them to get their stuff up before I throw it out there. They'll have tickets and season passes on sale, though, here probably next week. But their website for their portion of Gateway Eaglewood's done.
Do they have access to a list and a, you know, demographics from North Salt Lake?
They haven't asked me for one, but I'm sure I can get something from Linda with the city for them.
I mean, they should probably send a mailer to every resident.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And the other reason why they should or the city should is because you don't want it to be a complete surprise, because, you know, there are a few people in the city who, no matter what you do, even if it's going to be something nice, you
so
know,
Linda
they,
is, you know,
they might get a little pushback.
The nice, well, the city signs that are up there that have the events on there. She does have Gateway Parks on the next ones.
I saw that, but I don't think people know what that is.
Yeah.
I don't think they know what it is.
And the monthly
newsletter.
Yeah, it
that would
be
a good location too.
I mean, does everybody?
Was it? I didn't see if she had it in this last one.
I didn't see that.
You know, since they don't send the newsletter with your water bill anymore, I never see the newsletter.
Yeah. I know.
I don't know why they just continue that. They don't have to pay any more for mailing. You know?
Well,
just paper and put it in.
You know, I mean, it's become a digital world. The thing is, it should be a push notification. It should. Well, I think it does come that way. I get an email that says from North Salt Lake, and I just look at it. So it's just like getting it in the mail.
Yeah. It would be people who are not familiar with how they can get it and et cetera that could be a little bit of a problem. We have some older people.
Are now
gone,
you know?
Yeah.
But everybody opens their water bill. That's my point.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
if you see
exactly.
If you see the newsletter, I mean, you know.
Well, it was kind of fun to get it.
You didn't know you're
there.
Not going to get your water bill anymore, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be electronic.
Oh, yeah, you still get it.
Yeah.
I was just kidding,
but, you know, it's only a matter of time before you don't get your water bill.
So to answer your question on that, the city will be mailing out physical newsletters for it, I think, 4 times a year.
Okay.
Outside of your...
Oh.
So you still will get a physical one. But
quarterly?
Okay. Yeah, it might be quarterly. So.
That would be a good time then, yeah.
On this project list, so this is the... These aren't all the items, but this is a quick run through of Weston and I's ideas and time. And we don't need to go through all these, but this just gives you a sense of some items that need to be done at some point, some that are, I would call beautification of Eaglewood. Some are higher priority than others. You've got tee boxes in there, we've got flowers, we've got lots of different things. So
would the gold tees be in front of the red tees?
Yeah, so this would be a secondary kind of, we've talked about doing a family tee as well out on fairways, off the side of the fairways and such. But there's three ways of going about this projects and other projects at Eaglewood. One is I rely on Weston and the superintendent and turf staff to do it outside of their regular operations, which takes away from, I think, the condition of the golf course. Mm-hmm. Second option is we hire third parties to do some of these projects. Some are small, you know, flowers we could do internally, but some of the bigger projects, like tee boxes, we've had third parties come in to help us, and we've paid them to do those things. The other option is we have a project superintendent that not only helps with the turf care maintenance, but operates and does all of these projects. So redoes tee boxes for us, puts railroad ties in along cart paths, you know, flowers around some of the tee box areas and the trees, and just smaller things like that that we could hand off to someone. And I think ultimately we save on some cost there by not doing it third party, but also there's not an immediacy for this. So it depends on how what we look at as far as long-term projects. Is this list 15 years, or do we want to get it done in 5?
Well, I was just going to say, you're going to turn this into a capital
plan
year by year, what you think,
and how much? Yeah, and I have that started, and I have priority lists on it with high, medium, and low. This I just brought so you could see all the different items. But
I would say this from past experience, so I think having a third party do specific bigger things makes much more sense, because they can put as many people on it as the project needs and get it done, and that's their only goal. When you have somebody else, they've got this, that, got to go to a meeting, they get called to this. You know, my experience, that's the way you get those kinds of projects done quick.
Our difficulty, and I'll point out T-boxes, for example. We probably have half a dozen T-boxes that we need to get done. Four, for example, is really not fun to hit off of. And we've had a gentleman come and did a few other T-boxes for us 2 years ago. It's hard to get him to schedule. It's hard to get him to do it when we want him to do it, too. So there's still a little bit of that with the third-party groups. And there's more of a cost there. So that's why I'm looking at that. Not only is there a need for these, but, you know, what are we trying to achieve?
What do you want him to do on number four?
So we'd like
make separate segregated tee boxes instead of basically one long one?
Yeah, so we want to expand that white and blue tee box to be wider and bigger and redo that whole tee service. I could show you, pull up maps and while we're in it. 17 needs to be done. We've done a few on we did the white tees on 17, but the blue tees needs to be done. There's a whole list on there. I'll just show you four, for example. This is the tee box area. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a narrow shape. It's not very flat. So what we'd do is we would bring this out here, and we'd actually lower that tee box. I'm not making a very good circle here, but we would lower that existing tee box, give us a big hitting surface, somewhere in there like that. We have the pond project as well. We're going to need more tee box area, I think, with the floating, not a floating green, but island green. So we're going to redo this tee box on the front and make it a white, yellow, and red tee box. It'll be a pretty big tee box complex on that hole. But anyways, it's hard for me to tell Weston, hey, do this stuff, but still do your other stuff. They're doing a lot, and if you've played, they've done a great job this year.
I definitely have a third party too, with oversight from Weston. You got to leave yourself and Weston involved so that you don't get a private contractor kind of going rogue on you. But that's definitely the way to do it. Then you don't, as you said, break away his normal day-to-day maintenance people.
Yeah. The other benefit they have is, and whatever equipment's needed, the right contractor will have. So, their time to get it done will be a lot less. It may be that Weston and his crew will have to finish off the top, but, getting the dirt
and everything done,
that could be done by any excavator could really do that.
I think I probably agree with you guys. Utilizing this guy that we've had do tee boxes is probably a good way, because he has the equipment. We'll just have to figure out all these other smaller ones to fit in and figure out. But
it's good.
Well, once you get this budget put together, are we looking at funds probably being available to do these things, or what's the situation? Does it more have to come from the city, or will it be internally financed?
I think this year be a great year for the golf course as far as cash flow. So we'll have my request to Ken is going to be putting some of that into a capital improvement fund and utilizing those funds to improve the grounds and golf course rather than just having it sit and not do anything with it. So that's kind of my hope, is if we can get $500,000 in that fund for future projects, that helps pay for almost all of those tee boxes, probably, if not more. So, so we kind of went through this already a little bit with Gateway Parks on where they'll be at with closing down 8, 9, and 10, so I won't go through that again, but you'll start to see them starting to set up scaffolding next week. Showed you those. Last big item I've got, I don't know if all of you had a chance to read through the policy manual changes. I was hoping Council Member Baskin would be here for the donation one because I think she'll have the most council input on it. But essentially, it's on page, it's kind of highlighted in black and white there, but it's on the third page. So I've had a lot of requests throughout the years from different groups, different golf courses, different tournaments that are other golf courses for donations to their events or their nonprofit or their for-profit, and it's kind of become a, essentially what I've told them is if you're not a nonprofit in the city of North Salt Lake, I don't donate.
Yeah.
Which is not very, it's very few. So I wanted a concrete policy and even a forum, a request forum, that I can give to these people and take my my equations out of what's donated and what's not.
Yeah, it's wise to have a policy that you can fall back on. You can just say, well, our policy dictates that
yeah.
I can't, because you'll get bombarded, and I know you already have.
Yeah.
So
this kind of sets out what we're able to give, how they apply for it, and making sure that it's in line with what essentially I wanted to make sure that it benefits Eaglewood in some way, or benefits the city of North Salt Lake. So,
where do you draw the line? Like if you're having, like if there's a charitable tournament and. You know, and they're actually paying, they're giving the city a big check, and they request, you know, hey, can you donate a foursome for us to give away at our raffle? Then how do you handle that? Do you ask them to pay 50% or?
I think that's my last bulleted points, because those are the groups that I think that we should donate to. Those that are nonprofits that have tournaments at Eaglewood, that we can give them a raffle, for them raffle offer to give away, or thanks for having your tournament type of deal. Whereas some of the other ones, you know, if I've got so and so asking for a donation for their tournament at Glen Eagle, it's like not beneficial to us in a way, other than you know, their hope is, well, someone will come play, and maybe they'll bring someone else that pays, or maybe those people that will come have never been before, but they're essentially right now as busy as we are, they're taking up a group that's paying, which isn't ideal for us. So
that's the bottom line. I mean, from a public relations perspective, it might pay off, but then again, it might not. You know, I wouldn't. You know, and as you said, if you open that can of worms, you know, you set a precedent, and then everybody will be in line asking for the same consideration and the same donation. You don't want to open that.
I want to cut those out. I wouldn't even have them submit a form for it, because that's, I think it's the second to last one.
Yeah.
Is any direct or indirect competitors we won't provide donations to, whether it's they're having their tournament at another golf course or another golf course requesting it. So.
Right. Yeah, the first criteria is, as you said, it has to benefit Eaglewood and has to be held at Eaglewood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we're,
you know, the food pantry, for example, or, some like that. But what I'll do is I'll probably work through this a little bit more with Ken, and then take it to the city council for their approval on the policy manual with that big change. The other ones, I took out the volunteer marshal section, since we don't have volunteers anymore. They're all paid employees. Added a section that we didn't have in there, just on the private cart fees. I'll probably reword that a little bit, but just kind of has it as far as power carts and what we require, what we don't allow.
On the conduct rules, the only thing I saw there that we were talking rangers rather than marshals, and I'm wondering if that was something that you may want to...
On the volunteers?
It's on the conduct rules, on the failure.
You want to change
the code of conduct.
Verbiage from
just verbiage.
Rangers to marshals.
Change it to marshals.
Okay.
And then the only other thing I saw, and we don't have starters. but
not really, no.
Yeah, at least not right now.
Well, technically you have starters.
We call them starters.
Except for Alan. Alan is a starter. He
Alan's a finisher. He's a starter and a finisher.
And the only other one I saw is on destruction of city, and I put slash golf property. Because you may have a, which one is it?
Well, all golf property is city property, technically.
On loan, I think. And then the only other one I saw on your alcohol policy, where no outside alcohol or coolers are allowed, on the spectators, are you talking the people that are sitting up on the veranda watching as a spectator? Or are you watching, you know, do we have people wandering around?
Well, you can't bring it on the premises no matter what you're doing.
Well, and that's what I was thinking, because I talked it, you know, it was talking about spectators, and I couldn't figure out what a spectator, how that.
In the gallery watching a golf
tournament. Yeah, in the gallery, is it the gallery if they're watching somebody?
I'll just clarify that, all customers.
Yeah, customers, patrons, you know, whatever you need to use.
Like if you want to have, basically, if you want to have a beer, you've got to buy that Eagle Head. Don't bring
it in.
That's what the policy says.
And then I think the other part is that we said that they could put it back in their car. I think we should just confiscate it.
Since Karen brought it up, have you had to enforce the alcohol thing very much?
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is it a big problem?
No, most people are pretty respectful. I don't think we've had any instances of altercations
when you called them on it, they've acknowledged it.
Yeah. What we've been asked by the DABC is to essentially, we have to notify them of the policy, notify them of this Utah state statute of that it is illegal,
mm-hmm.
ask them to either remove it or return it to their cars, not to drink it, and leave it to them. You know, we're not out there to take people's coolers or confiscate their stuff. We're going to notify them of their law if we feel like they're
uncooperative. If they don't comply, what do you do?
We're going to kick them off.
Yeah, because there are a few people that do a very good job of sneaking it in.
Yeah.
And which is...
those that do it are going to do it anyway.
No.
Yeah.
I've always had a problem with that sign. I mean, I played 50 different golf courses. Nobody has a sign. I mean, it's a state law, and everybody has the same problem. You know, those who want to bring it on.
Yeah.
But
well, you're supposed to post it, though. Yeah, you can't enforce it if you don't post it. So
that's one of their.
Because then they can say, "Oh, I didn't know."
Well, nobody else has it posted, so I mean,
they're not compliant.
It's just like trespassing. If your property's not posted, no trespassing, you've got a problem.
That the DABC has requested that we have it posted. So if others aren't, then they're not in compliance. And and I know there's a lot that don't enforce it at all. So
Bountiful Ridge.
Mean, couldn't we post it on the building or something and not have it?
Yeah, Bountiful Ridge doesn't enforce it at all.
Right in front of the pro shop.
I think a lot of places. I mean, like you said, the people that are in there.
Yeah.
But I do think if they know that there's culture changing, that you're aware of it, that those few people are going to have the jerks that are always just going to do it.
So my thought with that with coolers is in 2.5 years when we are looking at new golf carts, I may look at coolers on the carts instead of probably in addition to what we've already got, but cost is going to be the factor there on it. But instead of allowing people to bring, you know, even though our policy says we don't allow outside coolers, people start bringing them. We don't police that other than telling them if they have alcohol in it, they better remove it. But if we had coolers on the carts, it allows us to do what I know Valley View does or has done, is they don't allow coolers at all. So we've got coolers on the cart. You can throw your ice and drinks in there and be on your way. But yeah, that's a tough one, and we'll never cut it out completely, other than if we're checking everyone's bags as they check in through the security line. But
I mean, go to the youth games, and Yeah, they're in the same thing.
Right.
And they are looking. It still gets
yeah, it still gets
it's like sneaking in 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, hey, yeah. They do a good job at that, too.
Sneaking in what?
Sneaking in kids.
Oh.
You know, I mean, was
you know,
it
some
six?
Some of these larger golf bags, you can put the kid right in the bag, you know.
Exactly.
There are some, the yeah, Alan has heard me on that subject.
The only thing I didn't notice in these rules at all always bothers me here because I see occasionally four golfers, four golf courts. We don't really have any control of the golf courts. And most places you go, I mean, most of them are pretty liberal, like Park City, you know, they want you two to a cart, but do they totally enforce it? No. But here, I mean, I just see kids come in and grab carts, and sometimes I wonder, I mean, did they even pay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've gone to other places where you have to show your driver's license and, you know, sign for the cart, and they give you
yeah.
the key. I realize that's really labor intensive. We don't want to do that, but is there some way that we can, I mean, because it's wear and tear on the carts, it's more pollution going out there, it's more damage to the fairways and the course itself.
Well, quite frankly, on a busy day, you don't have enough carts if every
well, that's
foursome took four separate carts.
Yes.
That would
yeah.
not work.
I mean, that's the exception, but I see an awful lot of two and one out
mm-hmm.
there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they don't know each other or, you know, how
yeah.
they get that way. But
I'd say that probably the majority of that's a twosome and two singles.
Yeah.
yeah.
More
a threesome and a single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. You, yeah. They've put two groups together, you know, a twosome,
right.
two singles, and then they don't even know each other.
Right.
So, yeah.
But golf's supposed to be a social sport. So, I mean, I've often thought that we had a camera as a starter that went back to the clubhouse and tell people, you know, if it's two players, it's
yeah. yeah. Our other thought is we actually have a starter out there heading up to one that people stop at and talks to him about the day, and
mm-hmm.
you know that's much more labor and more temporary wages and more cost. But you know, I think we're getting there. I think we want to be there.
Yeah.
Al and I today talked about having a range attendant on the driving range with the TrackMan stuff, pretty much all day, and having you know, there's expenses to things we're doing. I mean,
yeah.
our wages have gone up significantly over the last 3 years because we have more operations.
Yeah, well, it's always a balance between income
yeah.
and expenses.
That's
know.
A good point, though.
As long
with
as
track
you push the income
change,
up more than the expenses, I mean,
it only takes
a lot
one
of
guy
places
yeah.
where I go, especially like
that's
if you
a,
go to Palm Springs or something,
for someone
I mean, there, they have the carts already set up for you
yeah.
by your tee times, and, you know, you get this tee time, get in here, next tee time, next
time. Well, we've talked about it before, I'm printing cart signs for public play
mm-hmm.
and having it being a nice experience for people. And,
yes.
You know, I'm not opposed to doing these things. It's just a matter of we
cost
need more employees and we need more,
yeah.
more money.
Yeah.
yeah.
But
well,
we charge
cost
more.
Effective.
I mean, that's
yeah.
frankly what it is.
Right.
We have that experience. We charge more.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think people feel like it's an upscale experience right now. And, you know, it's more like it's more like the service is more like, and the conditions are more like a private club,
mm-hmm.
but the cost is down. So,
yeah.
Yeah, how do you balance it?
Yeah,
but you can't.
There's
you
a
don't
threshold.
Want to. You don't want to set up the free halfway house out there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like you have at promontory or anything.
Well,
you know,
I mean, talking about size, just like you have an alcohol sign. I mean, it could be assigned by the carts as a, you know, two players per cart, and you know, unless there's an odd number of players, you know, and
well,
a lot
I mean,
of
you try to
buy
pair
them
up if
do.
All possible, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a
very
yeah.
very rarely do we let groups out that aren't paying for that extra cart. So if we have a threesome or a twosome and one of them has a rider, we're charging them for that
mm-hmm.
extra cart.
Yeah,
so
I saw
it
here too.
And I'd say we do a really good job with that. And people have kind of used to
they
having to
pay
for
most
it.
Of the time.
So
either that or they try to sneak themselves out and don't have another have their girlfriend come in and
yeah.
push out. Same thing as sneaking
yeah.
alcohol, it's
yeah.
gonna happen.
Right.
So my only other big change in there is employee golf privileges. We're looking at a different point of sale system right now for probably next year that would allow us to track employee usage. And this is more for our seasonal and part-time employees. We probably had 30 to 40 seasonal part-time employees over the course of the year with between maintenance and the pro shop. So just being able to utilize the system we have to give them a equitable golf privilege. There's some that use it a lot and every day in excess of what I think they should be able to, and there's some that don't play golf at all. So we're trying to find a middle ground there of what's fair and what usage can we give them. This system will let me set up essentially punch card for them to use, and once they've used it for that week, they've got to either pay or use it next week. So I think this will help us limit the amount of employee usage during busier times, but also be able to kind of hold them accountable.
It's a good idea. I mean, it takes the pressure off your guys behind the counter too, because you don't, you know, like Alan doesn't want to tell a part-time guy, well, you know, you've already played three, you know, five rounds of golf this week, I think you're done, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I looked through every single Wasatch Front and called golf course on what they do with their employees. Some charge a nominal cart fee, so it's $2 or $3 to use the carts. You can walk for free, but if you want to use the carts, you can't. Salt Lake City, for example, looks at time cards. So depending on how many hours you work, depends on how much golf you can play. Mm-hmm. The county does something similar, but they said they don't really enforce it.
No.
Davis does.
Yeah, Davis does do the $2 or $3 charge. So I don't want to take the privilege away from them, because I think that's a lot of big part why a lot of people do work at the golf course. Mm-hmm. So we'll just have to find a good amount of what should be allowed and what's not excessive. So,
well, I think there's a good balance in here, you know, playing non-busy times. And so, I mean, if it's filler, it's not really losing.
Yeah, it says in there that you can't play during busy times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, almost every day is a busy time.
That's what's been hard.
It's
this
not
year.
Like not the good old days where you can actually walk on anywhere.
Oh, right now it's
Tuesday
gorgeous.
Afternoon.
Go out and play right now.
Today wasn't as busy.
And you know, a day in advance. You know, I don't want them booking times out in advance. So that's really all I had. Other than if you guys have any questions or comments or anything on what we're doing.
How many non-Eaglewood golf carts have been grandfathered in now? How many people are?
There's probably a dozen, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, maybe.
So it's down to about 12.
Yeah. There's been a few that 2 years after we've grandfathered them in are now coming to us that want it. And one we've let in because they have been around for a while, and others that have requested, I just have told them no. So
more than 12 golf carts going up and down Eagle Point Drive every day.
There's a lot that come and park at the course and practice and play, but we don't allow them on the golf course. So
we've gotten a lot more strict about the age limits this year too. Like, we didn't really enforce 16, and there's been a few.
Is it legal for them to drive on the streets?
No.
Okay,
no.
I suspected that. We've got a few that have a tendency to golf. The ride on the golf course because they know they can't be on the street.
They have to have a driver's license, and the golf cart has to be street ready. In other words, it has to have headlights, taillights,
and the whole bit.
License plate.
So, and the police department's on that. You may even see that in the newsletter. That's not coming from the golf course. That's coming from the city. So they'll be, from what I've been told, they're gonna be out there looking for those and policing that a little bit more. So
that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
It's especially when you've got a 10-year-old driving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you the thing that's 10 times worse already are the electric bikes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of those go 60 miles an hour. And, you know, you've got 6-7-year-old kids driving them up and down the street.
And scooters. The electric scooters.
Well, the bikes, especially. The bikes go much faster than a scooter.
They are.
I mean, the bikes go as fast as a car goes, you know.
Yeah. It's dangerous driving.
Yeah.
so.
Well, just because of any more questions or comments, or should we adjourn the meeting?
Did you say you are your outings done for October then?
Yeah, we have one more small one tomorrow, and then that's it.
And then that's it. How many total outings and?
I think we had 60 corporate tournaments and then 8 of our tournaments that we ran.
So 68.
Yeah, and that's tournaments we set up. We had a lot of 20 to 30 player small groups that we don't count, but.
Have you received any letters or pushback from residents who can't play as often as they want because there are too many outings and
not
things?
This year. We did have a lot. We're probably going to restrict tournaments a little bit more next year. We're going to limit the ones we have on Mondays and Wednesdays for Men's Association and Women's Association. One thing, challenge we've had this year is we've had some of those and it's limited. I kind of our growth there in a way, I think.
Do you do a morning and late afternoon men's association?
Just all day.
Time of day.
Or, oh, it's all day? Mm-hmm. Do you have enough people to fill it all day?
We've
too
averaged
full.
Like 65 players this year.
And that's what's hard is our evenings
all
are full.
Play 4 to 7, so.
So
it's full.
Yeah.
From 4 to 7 o'clock, yeah. We don't have any open tee times. So. We're going to adjust our tee sheet a little bit too and have men's association on 1-9 and public on the other 9 and do 9 whole tee times to fill the evening time, so we're not trying to juggle both. So we'll make adjustments to try to fit them in. We've talked about doing 2 days. We've thought about every single avenue we can to grow, but we're going to stick with 1 day for now and see what we can manage this next year, I guess. So it'll be good. But yeah, it's grown.
How about the Women's Association? Is it growing or just growing?
It's grown quite a bit. Kelsey, that's in the pro shop, started the PGA program. She's kind of handled that. She's done a great job. So what, she had 15 ladies playing
in the club championship?
Club championship
yeah. Their average this year was probably 16 to 20, which we've had 4 to 8 in the past. And there were days when she had 32 to 40 players.
Yeah.
So
it's been great. I mean, if she'll keep running it for us, I think she'll do a great job next year. We have some good ideas. Our biggest, item for us, especially Alan and I, is going to be sponsorship money for next year to go towards all of our events. So tournaments, men's, women's association, to kind of help those grow. So
you're going to put together a sponsorship package for businesses?
Yeah, we have one ready.
Preliminary done. Yeah.
So we're going to hit all the businesses up here.
Good idea.
Yeah. Our goal was 20,000
yeah.
total. So that's our goal.
We should do that. I think we're going to go over that.
Wow. That'll need two good businesses and you got it.
I think we can get a good chunk from a couple good ones. And sell some digital ads on the GPS units and do some of that smaller stuff too. So. You know, that's something this social media marketing manager, I would expect them to help us with too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an ideal thing for them to do. Yeah.
So doing some of the sales side on top of social media.
Can make their whole salary in sponsorships.
Yeah. you know, we did some sponsorship last year. Had one of the event center gals help me a little bit, Micah. We did a few, you know, we did a thing with J.J. Donuts, and we did one with Bahama Bucks, and there's one others we did with sponsorship money this year, kind of some more of that type of stuff.
Will the Gateway program and the and the simulators down there allow you to keep more employees on during the winter?
Yeah, their hope is they can hire as many good employees as we have. So I imagine they're going
to
start hiring. Yeah, we'll start hiring here shortly.
I know they said that they were going to start doing interviews in like a couple.
Yeah,
like you mentioned, that girl who's doing a good job. Will someone like that be able to stay on through
the
winter,
cafe,
which
cafe,
would
yeah.
probably help retain them, you know, for spring next summer?
Yeah, quite a few of the grill employees are part time, so they're working up to 30 hours a week and all year. But so then our seasonal employees that we have on the golf course side, hopefully some of them get employment from then, kind of keep them around.
Good.
it's a good deal.
All right. Guess it's come to that time.
I move
motion
the close
to adjourn.
The I second.
I third. That's adjourned.
Okay.
So the Tyler, the water for the pond that they're going to build, where is that water coming from?
We bought maps.
Just close.
So the water for the